Brevet, and welcome to our last dialogue class. We've been through a lot this past few months, right? We welcomed new colleagues, we discussed projects, we met a foreign collaborator, and we even survived a crisis. But today, we have some very, very good news. Remember David Smith from our very first class? Well, he has been promoted. I know you're curious to know how that happened, so let's listen to our dialogue.
Hey, David. Thank you for coming on such short notice.
Not a problem, Sarah. Thanks for calling.
I wanted to talk to you about what we discussed in our last meeting.
Oh, really? Do you have any news for me?
I do. I talked to the people in charge of personnel and payroll, and the increase in your salary has been approved. I'll forward you the details later.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm really glad to hear that. Thank you so much for your support.
Don't mention it. I'm always ready to back people I believe in. Also, that's not the only news I have for you today.
What else have you got?
Well, I recommended you for a raise, but I also talked about how consistently good your work has been so far, and management took an interest in you.
Did they? What did they say?
The regional manager is going to retire in about 6 months, and they're making a list of potential candidates for this position. You're currently sitting on top of their list.
Am I? That's incredible. I absolutely did not expect that. But it's a very good surprise. What should I expect from that position?
On the one hand, you should expect a very demanding position, very long hours, and a lot of responsibility. On the other hand, it's an incredibly interesting and exciting job. That's going to open a lot of new possibilities for you.
I'd be glad to have this job. Developing my career in this direction is exactly what I'm looking for.
If I were you, I'd accept the offer right away then. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
I completely agree. Thank you so much for standing by me.
Hey, David. Thank you for coming on such short notice.
Not a problem, Sarah. Thanks for calling.
I wanted to talk to you about what we discussed in our last meeting.
Oh, really? Do you have any news for me?
I do. I talked to the people in charge of personnel and payroll, and the increase in your salary has been approved. I'll forward you the details later.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm really glad to hear that. Thank you so much for your support.
Don't mention it. I'm always ready to back people I believe in. Also, that's not the only news I have for you today.
What else have you got?
Well, I recommended you for a raise, but I also talked about how consistently good your work has been so far, and management took an interest in you.
Did they? What did they say?
The regional manager is going to retire in about 6 months, and they're making a list of potential candidates for this position. You're currently sitting on top of their list.
Am I? That's incredible. I absolutely did not expect that, but it's a very good surprise. What should I expect from that position?
On the one hand, you should expect a very demanding position, very long hours, and a lot of responsibility. On the other hand, it's an incredibly interesting and exciting job. That's going to open a lot of new possibilities for you.
I'd be glad to have this job. Developing my career in this direction is exactly what I'm looking for.
If I were you, I'd accept the offer right away then. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
I completely agree. Thank you so much for standing by me.
All right then, Mr. Smith has been doing a very good job here at the company, so it's more than fair that he has been promoted, right? And as for us, as usual, let's take a closer look at the sentence from our dialogue, shall we? So this is how it starts. Hey, David. Thank you for coming on such short notice. Hey, David, thank you for coming on such short notice. Here we have two structures that we've already seen in our classes, which are first, thank you or thanks, and then for and the verb in the gerund form, the verb with ing. This is the structure you use when you want to thank someone for an action, for doing something. So thank you for coming, thank you for calling, thank you for inviting me, and so on, right? So thank you or thanks for and the action, the verb with the ing in the gerund form, right? And also this expression here, short notice, which means basically that you didn't give the person too much time to prepare, right? You call the person to come to you at the last minute, right? So when you say on short notice, it means that you notified this person at the last minute. So you didn't give this person too much time to prepare. All right, let's move on. Not a problem, Sarah. Thanks for calling. Not a problem, Sarah. Thanks for calling. See, here again we have that same structure of thanking someone for an action, right? So thanks for calling. Okay, so let's move on. I wanted to talk to you about what we discussed in our last meeting. No big secrets there. Let's just remember once again that the pronunciation of the simple past version of regular verbs changes, right? So we have here two different examples. We have wanted, in which I actually pronounce the ed, so wanted. And we have discussed, in which the letter e is not really pronounced, so we have a d sound, right? So discussed. Wanted and discussed, right? And then we have one last type of pronunciation when it comes to regular verbs, which we form the verb check, for example. So the past form of the verb check is checked. So we have that T sound in the end, right? Checked. So wanted, discussed, and checked. Here we have those three kinds of pronunciation of the simple past version of regular verbs, right? So let's just remember that we have these peculiarities when it comes to the pronunciation of such words. All right, moving on. Oh, really? Do you have any news for me? No secrets there. So let's move forward. I do. I talked to the people in charge of personnel and payroll, and the increase in our salary has been approved. I'll forward you the details later. Here we have, once again, that expression in charge. So in charge is someone who is responsible for something or who is supervising something. All right, so the person who is in charge is the person who is responsible for something. So the people in charge of personnel are the people responsible for the personnel. The personnel being the staff, right? The employees of a company or of an office. All right, so let's move forward. And the increase in our salary has been approved. No secrets there. I'll forward you the details later. Let's take the chance here to once again practice a pronunciation of the contraction of I and will, which is I'll, right? I'll. And also the pronunciation of forward with that very typical R sound, forward. I'll forward you the details later. Okay? Wow, that's amazing. I'm really glad to hear that. Thank you so much for your support. Here we have, once again, another word that has many different uses and meanings and that also can be used either as a noun or as a verb, which is the word support. So support in our sentence here is being used as a noun, right? So thank you so much for your support. But it can also be used as a verb. And since it can have many different uses, I'm going to show you the most common of them, right? So let's talk here about support the verb. I can use support, the verb support, meaning help or aid. So I could say, I supported her during the election campaign. So I helped her, I aided her during the election campaign, which is the same sense, the same meaning that we have here in our dialogue, right? Thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for your help, for your aid, all right? But I can also use the word support to say that something can bear the weight. So if I say these pillars support the roof, What I'm saying is that these pillars, they bear the weight of the roof, right? I could also say this bridge can support 10 tons. This bridge can support 10 tons, so this bridge can bear the weight of 10 tons. All right, so support can also mean to bear the weight. Also, support can be used in the sense of comfort, so to comfort someone. If I say her letters really supported him during his grief period, what I'm saying is that her letters really comforted him during his grief period, right? So he was grieving, he was really sad, and her letters really supported him, really comforted him. All right? Support can also be used to say that something is maintained by supplying with money or other needs. So I could say the shelter is supported by the government. The shelter is supported by the government. So the government is the institution that supplies with money or other needs to keep the shelter working, to keep the shelter functioning, right? So the shelter is supported by the government. The government is the one that provides for the shelter, right? Also, I can use support in the sense of corroborate with evidence. So if I say the new facts supported her story, what I'm saying is that the new facts corroborate with her story, bringing evidence, proving that her story is correct, is true. All right, so the new facts supported her story. The new facts corroborated with evidence to her story. All right. Also, another use of the verb support is to indicate, argue in favor of. So if I say, I support the new candidate. I support a new candidate, so I agree with him, I agree with his ideas, so I argue in his favor, I support him, right? I tell everyone he is a good candidate, okay? And finally, last but not least, I can use the word support in terms of computers to say that something is compatible, so to be compatible with. This is in terms of computers, right? So if I say, this system doesn't support new apps, what I'm saying is that this system, this operating system from this computer is not compatible with new applications, with new apps, right? So this system doesn't support new apps. So we have here many, many, many different uses of the word support that you can use in many different contexts, right? Very nice indeed. So let's move on to our next page. Don't mention it. I'm always ready to back people I believe in. Also, that's not the only news I have for you today. Don't mention it. I'm always ready to back people I believe in. Also, that's not the only news I have for you today. This is a very interesting way to reply to someone who's thanking you, saying, don't mention it. Don't mention it basically means the same thing as you're welcome, right? Or not at all. Or anytime. So these are all ways you can respond to someone when this person is thanking you. So these are all answers to thank you, right? So if I say don't mention it, what I'm saying is that you don't have to thank me. It's okay. All right, so don't mention it. You're welcome. Not at all. Anytime. These are all ways that you can use to reply when someone says thank you. Very nice, right? We also have a very interesting verb here, which is the verb to back. There when she says, I'm always ready to back people I believe in, which is basically the same thing as to support, right? Support in the sense of to aid, to help, right? So I'm always ready to back people I believe in. I'm always ready to support, to aid, to help people I believe in. And here, once again, we have a situation in which our sentence ends in a preposition, right? And the preposition there is the preposition in. So when you believe in something. I could say, I believe in his story, for instance, right? So believe in. So always remember, as I've been telling you for all these classes, to try and memorize the verbs with their prepositions, right? So believe in someone or something, okay? And once again, as I've just said, we're ending the sentence in a preposition. I'm always ready to back people I believe in, and that's perfectly fine, okay? So let's move on. What else have you got? What else have you got? No secrets there. Well, I recommended you for a raise, but I also talked about how consistently good your work has been so far, and management took an interest in you. Well, I recommended you for a raise. Let's take the chance here to practice the pronunciation of the word recommended. Here again, we have a regular verb in the simple past, right? And my pronunciation is actually really going to emphasize the ED. So recommended, 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 recommended. And when I have it right before the word you, I can actually link them together and pronounce the last D as J, right? So recommended you, recommended you, recommended you. Well, I recommended you, I recommended you, I recommended you for a raise, okay? But I also talked about how consistently good your work has been so far. But I also talked about how consistently good your work has been so far. No issues there. And management took an interest in you. And management took an interest in you. Very interesting expression we have here. To take an interest in someone or something, right? I could say, for instance, I think Michael has taken an interest in Mary. I think Michael has taken an interest in Mary. So I think Michael is basically interested in Mary. I could also say, our new boss has taken an interest in our project. Our new boss has taken an interest in our project. So take an interest means basically to be interested, to become interested in something. Again, here, remembering the correct preposition to use with the verb. So interest in, take an interest in. All right, moving on. What did they say? The regional manager is going to retire in about 6 months, and they're making a list of potential candidates for this position. You're currently sitting on top of their list. The regional manager is going to retire in about 6 months. The regional manager is going to retire in about 6 months. No problems there. Let's just practice here for 1 second the pronunciation of the word retire, because we have, once again, that R sound. Retire, retire, retire is going to retire. The regional manager is going to retire. The regional manager is going to retire in about 6 months. Okay? And they're making a list of potential candidates for this position. And they're making a list of potential candidates for this position. Let me stop here for 1 minute to talk to you about the differences between there, there, and there, right? The pronunciation is slightly different. Many times you can't really notice it, but their meanings are completely different, right? So there, the first one we have there, there, is the contraction of they are, right? So they are my new colleagues. They're my new colleagues, right? So there, they are, there, there, there. There, written T-H-E-I-R, is the possessive adjective of they. So it indicates possession, right? I could say, for instance, this is their office. So this office belongs to them. They possess this office. They have this office. This is their office, right? While there, which has the most different pronunciation, there, it's more of an open sound, right? There, as you already know, indicates a location. It's the opposite of here. So I could say, for instance, my car is over there. So there, that is the location of my car, all right? So there, T-H-E-Y, apostrophe, R-E, is the contraction of they are. So there, there, there. While there, T-H-E-I-R, is the possessive adjective of they. So indicates possession. Their car, their office, their house, their daughter, and so on. All right? And there, T-H-E-R-E, indicates a location. My car is over there. You can find my office there. There you can see my house, and so on, right? This may seem a little basic, but many people actually get really confused about the difference between there, there, and there, right? Not only foreigners. Native speakers also get confused about this difference. So it's always important to try and have this difference clear in our minds. All right, let's move on to our next page. Am I? That's incredible. I absolutely did not expect that, but it's a very good surprise. What should I expect from that position? Am I? That's incredible. Am I? That's incredible. Very interesting word here to indicate something very, very nice, very positive. Incredible. 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 That's incredible. That's amazing. That's awesome, right? I absolutely did not expect that, but it's a very good surprise. I absolutely did not expect that, but it's a very good surprise. Let's stop here for a minute to talk about the word absolutely. First of all, let's practice a little bit the pronunciation of that word. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. I absolutely did not expect that. I absolutely did not expect that. I absolutely did not expect that. And now, I know you may be thinking that sometimes it seems that absolutely is a negative word, and sometimes it seems that it's a positive word. Now, which one of those options is the right one? Is it a negative word or is it a positive word? Teacher Lee is going to tell us.
The word absolutely is an adverb that works as a very strong intensifier. It can be used in a way that is very similar to the adverb completely to intensify a verb or adjective. For example, your boss trusts you absolutely. The office was absolutely empty when I arrived. Absolutely is also great for adding emphasis to adjectives and verbs that normally can't really be intensified with very. Let me show you. It'll be absolutely impossible to finish this by next week. He says he absolutely loves working here. And absolutely can also be used for simple, emphatic answers, both positive and negative. So if someone offers you something that you're very interested in, you can say, yeah, absolutely. And if someone makes you a terrible offer or offers a very bad piece of advice, you can respond by saying, absolutely not. And that's it.
All right, then. Now that you know how to use the word absolutely, let's move on with our dialogue here. What should I expect from that position? What should I expect from that position? No issues there. So, next page. On the one hand, you should expect a very demanding position, very long hours, and a lot of responsibility. On the other hand, it's an incredibly interesting and exciting job that's going to open a lot of new possibilities for you. On the one hand, you should expect a very demanding position. On the one hand, you should expect a very demanding position. Here we have the beginning of a structure that we've already seen here in our classes, which begins with, on the one hand, and then, as we have in our next page, Very long hours and a lot of responsibility. On the other hand, it's an incredibly interesting and exciting job. So here we have the second part of that structure. On the other hand. So we use this structure when we are comparing two different sides of something, usually a positive side and a negative side. So if I say, on the one hand, I really like my coworkers. So I am presenting one side of my situation. Here, a positive side. And then, on the other hand, it's too much work. On the other hand, so I'm presenting another side of my situation. In this case here, a negative side, it's too much work, right? So we use this structure, on the one hand, on the other hand, to present two different sides of the same situation. All right? Another thing that I want you to pay attention to here is the use of the word incredibly. We have just seen the use of the word incredible, which is an adjective, right? So we use it to describe nouns, right? This book is incredible. That movie was incredible. This is an incredible house, and so on, right? So we use it to qualify nouns. While incredibly is actually the adverb. And we use it to qualify either verbs or adjectives, which is the case we have here. It's an incredibly interesting and exciting job. All right, so many times we only have to add the letter Y in the end of an adjective to turn it into an adverb. This is the case here. We have incredible as the adjective and incredibly as the adverb. The same thing happens with quick, which is the adjective, and quickly, which is the adverb, or beautiful, which is the adjective, and beautifully, which is the adverb, right? So in many, many cases, you only have to add ly in the end of the adjective, and you turn it into an adverb. Let's just remember that adjectives qualify nouns, while adverbs qualify verbs or adjectives, right? So you can either qualify a verb, he spoke quickly, she dresses beautifully, and so on. So I can qualify a verb or I can qualify an adjective in the sense of giving emphasis to that adjective. So when we use adverbs to qualify adjectives, it's basically an intensifier, right? It's an incredibly interesting and exciting job. It is a beautifully dressed woman, and so on. All right, so adjectives to qualify nouns, and usually when we have ly in the end, it's an adverb, and we use it to qualify verbs and adjectives as intensifiers. Okay, let's move on. That's going to open a lot of new possibilities for you. Here we have two very, very common contractions that we have already talked about in our classes here. First of them is the going to, which we usually say gonna, and a lot of, which we usually say a lot of, right? So it's gonna open a lot of new possibilities. It's gonna open a lot of new possibilities for you. Okay, moving forward, I'd be glad to have this job. Developing my career in this direction is exactly what I'm looking for. No secrets there, so let's move forward. If I were you, I'd accept the offer right away then. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You may be thinking that this is a mistake, the use of were with I, and if I were you, but it's actually not. This is the correct way of using the subjunctive. The subjunctive is basically the verb tense that we're going to use when we're talking about things that are contrary to fact, contrary to reality. Contrary to reality. So when I say if I were, it's something that I'm just imagining. It's something that I'm just wishing for. It's not the real life. It's not reality. So every time I make a sentence in the subjunctive, that is, every time I use if to talk about things that are not real, I'm gonna use were for the sentences in which I need the verb to be. It doesn't matter the subject, the person. So it doesn't matter if it's I, you, he, she, we, they. I'm always gonna use were, right? So I could say, for instance, if she were my sister, I'd talk to her. If she were my sister, I'd talk to her. Is she my sister? No, she's not my sister. That's not the reality. It's just me talking about some imaginative thing, something that I wish or something that I'm dreaming of, right? So if she were my sister, but she's not, I'd talk to her. So because this is not reality, I'm gonna use if she were, right? Let me give you one more example. If he were a little older, he'd be able to drive to work. If he were a little older, he'd be able to drive to work. The thing is, he is not a little older. So this is not the reality that I have. The reality is that he is too young to drive to work. So because I'm talking about something that is contrary to fact, contrary to reality, I'm gonna use the word were, even though my subject is he. So if he were a little older, but he's not, he'd be able to drive to work, right? So if she were, if he were, if I were, and so on, this is the way we construct what we call the subjunctive, which is the way we use to talk about something that is contrary to reality, that I wish or that I desire or that I imagine could be different. All right, so if I were you, but I'm not you, right? If I were you, I'd accept the offer right away. Okay, I completely agree. Thank you so much for standing by me. I completely agree. Thank you so much for standing by me. Here we have one more expression that indicates aid, help, support, which is stand by someone, right? So again, to support, to aid, to help, right? So if I said, I'll stand by you no matter what, I'll support you, I'll aid you, I'll help you no matter what, right? Or I could say, she was the only one who stood by me. She was the only one who stood by me. She was the only one who supported me, who aided me, who gave me some assistance, right? So another phrase or verb that has a very different meaning and a very interesting meaning for you to use in your everyday life. All right, so this is it for our last dialogue, but before we wrap up, let's listen to the conversation one more time.
Hey, David. Thank you for coming on such short notice.
Not a problem, Sarah. Thanks for calling.
I wanted to talk to you about what we discussed in our last meeting.
Oh, really? Do you have any news for me?
I do. I talked to the people in charge of personnel and payroll, and the increase in your salary has been approved. I'll forward you the details later.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm really glad to hear that. Thank you so much for your support.
Don't mention it. I'm always ready to back people I believe in. Also, that's not the only news I have for you today.
What else have you got?
Well, I recommended you for a raise, but I also talked about how consistently good your work has been so far, and management took an interest in you.
Did they? What did they say?
The regional manager is going to retire in about 6 months, and they're making a list of potential candidates for this position. You're currently sitting on top of their list.
Am I? That's incredible. I absolutely did not expect that, but it's a very good surprise. What should I expect from that position?
On the one hand, you should expect a very demanding position, very long hours, and a lot of responsibility. On the other hand, it's an incredibly interesting and exciting job. That's going to open a lot of new possibilities for you.
I'd be glad to have this job. Developing my career in this direction is exactly what I'm looking for.
If I were you, I'd accept the offer right away then. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
I completely agree. Thank you so much for standing by me.
Very well, then Mr. Smith did a very good job. He was finally promoted, but we still have work to do. So don't forget to do your memorization hack practice, listen to the dialogue again, practice all the tips that I gave you here today, and I'll see you in our 24th Business in Focus class. See you later, private.